Stop singing.
No, I'm not going to sing. I just want to welcome everyone here this afternoon. Today is a special day. It is our Vision Sunday. And I just want to welcome some new faces. Can the first like me to give our newcomers a round of applause, please? You know, 18 months ago, God gave us a vision. And it wasn't just through the board, it was through the community and through the leaders. And if you're here for the first time or dialing in online, our vision is very simple. We are loved by Christ. It all stems from His love for us. His Son was sacrificed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We are loved by Christ to embrace all people. So no matter what diversity, no matter what culture, ethnicity, oh, there you go, you see my voice amplified? We embrace all people and we empower each other. So here we journey with each other on each of our individual walks with God as well. We're here to cheerlead and champion that mission that He has placed on each of our individual hearts and as a community. And we're here to impact the community. Right? Church is the only place where its members exist for those that are external. So if you can't remember that, it's simple. We are loved by Christ to embrace, to empower, and to impact. So that's our vision. But this afternoon, I'm not going to be sharing about our vision. I'm going to be sharing a little bit differently here. And I'm going to explain why. So at the beginning of this year, the board and I went on a retreat. And every time we go on these retreats, I feel so revitalized and refreshed. And you can talk to any of the board members, and I'm sure they will share the same sentiment. And people ask me, what do you guys actually do on this retreat? Well, we have a lot of fun, right? We push Pastor to his limits in terms of stretching his physical abilities. But we have a lot of fun just fellowshipping, just praying, listening to his word, and really sharing life. And normally on these retreats, what we plan to do is we strategize and plan for the year ahead. But this year was fundamentally different. This year, it was less about more we could do, but more about what Christ has already done. Let me say that again. It was less about what more we could do as a community, as a church, but it was more about what Christ has already done. We spent that time really reflecting on His word and the foundations of who we are as a First Light community, but more importantly, who we are as believers. And I thank God that we have two very passionate pastors, Pastor Richard and Pastor Jeremy, to spiritually guide us in terms of refreshing and revitalizing the beliefs that fundamentally underpin our community and as believers, to guide us when we're in our highs and to guide us when we're in our lows as well. So we're going to reveal more of this over the coming months, and it's exciting to hear about these foundations, these timeless biblical truths that guide us as a community. And this afternoon, I want to share about one of these truths with you. I want to share about our sonship and our identity as sons and daughters. Are you ready? Yep, excellent. So I want to start off, right? So for those that don't know me, I have two beautiful children. So Kieran, he's 10 years old. He's sitting over there right now. He decided to stay in the service. And I have my a daughter who just turned 8 years old, and her name is Mia. And the thing with Mia is one of the things that she enjoys doing is she likes to dress up with her friends. In fact, she will coordinate through the wives to see, can they dress the same, at the same location, and at the same time? So I've got a photo of this to share with you. So this is my daughter here. She's the one on the right-hand side. And this is Sophie here. So they've got the same girl power shirt, right? And I'm pretty hip. I'm up to date with the latest jargon. And the terminology that we utilize is called being twinsies. All right? So my daughter and Sophie are twinsies. and the thing is, out of all her friends and out of all the people she knows, her most favouritest and bestest twinsie of all is none other than my wife, Anna. She loves saying, I am twinsies with Mama. So this is her with my wife there. And they've got this like, you know, little pose here, so I can do it as well, but she never wants to take a photo with me.
But this is, she loves saying she's twinsies with Mama, right? And that's what, she looks like Anna on the outside. They've got the same long hair, they dress up the same, etc. But what is Mia like on the inside? Well, Mia, she's quite quirky and she's quite witty. She loves to sing and dance. Sometimes she can be a little bit gross, but she's also very loud. And my wife terms it as she is very Viet loud. So I'm Vietnamese, so when she talks and we have conversations at home, it sounds like we're shouting, but we're just conversing with each other. Our outdoor voice is actually indoors. And you saw before, I didn't even need the microphone to actually speak. And the thing is, even though Mia looks like Anna on the outside, she's very much like me in terms of behaviours and the way she acts. But she will deny this unequivocally. If you ask her, she will deny that she's anything like me. In fact, Anna and I will be lying in bed and then she would do something and Anna will go, "Oh my gosh, you're just like Daddy." And she will be fuming. She turns around, "No, I'm not. I'm just like you, Mama." And then Anna gets scared, right? She says, okay, Mia, you're just like your mummy. And then Mia suddenly puts a grin on her face and walks away all happy. And as soon as she turns around, Anna points at me and goes, "She's just like you." And this is what I struggle with, right? I struggle with this as a father because I see her in me. I see her behaviors just like me, but she denies it unequivocally. And I can just imagine right now, church, our Father in heaven looking down on us. He sees us right now, right? We are built in his likeness. We are made in his likeness. We have Christ in us. But at times and on occasions, we deny who we are in him. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more, right? Because in Romans chapter 8, it says what? We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We are actually twinsies with Christ. And that's the title of my sermon today. It is what it means to be twinsies with Christ. All right, so to help you explain that, right, it is, to help explain this, it's, we go through this struggle and we go through this battle, and sometimes we don't even realize that we are denying him in the way we act or in the way we behave. And the best way to explain this is through a testimony. And the best testimony that I can think of when I was reading through the Bible is none other than from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, right? So non-Jewish people. And what I love about Paul's letters is not just that he preaches, you know, grace through faith, but when he shares about his testimonies, when he shares about his struggles, he does it in a way that is so vulnerable, that is so raw, that you can really understand how God has impacted him. You know, our testimonies are the way we show how God works through us, right? Through our lives. It is out there for the world to actually see. And when Paul shares his testimonies with us, it's something that is transformational and something that brings revelation. So I'm going to share with you. So if you guys can just turn to me to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. And I'm going to have to take out my phone now because my eyes aren't as good as it used to be. All right. Excellent. So we're going to start here, right? Is everyone there? So it says here, "So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good." So I just want to remind everyone, the law is holy, spiritual and good, right? The law came from who? Came from God. There is nothing wrong with the law. But what the law does is it reflects our inadequacies. It reflects the bar that we are unable to achieve. But the law itself is spiritual and good. "The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, that shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong, it is the sin living in me that does it." I love this bit here. "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it." Wow, what a mouthful. I reckon Dr. Seuss got his inspiration from his books from this verse, right? The Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham. So if you read on, let me just click to the next slide here. Sorry, I have to switch pockets. All right. So it says here, let's read in the next verse. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? So when you read these verses out, you can feel that, you know, Paul is talking about this conflict in these two natures, this wrestling that he has with his newness and is with his old self, being a bonded to actual sin. And you might say to yourself, well, you know, I have my identity in Christ. I know who I am. The law here doesn't apply to me. But let me ask you, church, you know, the law here, we might not murder someone, but do you speak angrily to your neighbor? We might not steal, but have you ever lied to someone? We may not commit adultery, but have you looked at another person with temptation? This is what Paul is referring to, and this is the struggle that we go through, right? And like I said, sometimes we don't even realize we're going through this struggle in life. Let me give you an example. Have you ever met someone or worked with someone that really rubbed you up the wrong way? Yeah? Is anyone, yeah? A couple of nods here. I'm hoping there's a few nods online. There's a few people, right, that really rub us the wrong way. And then when you see that person, when they say something, you know, you think to yourself, oh, that person's having an attack on me. What's up with that person? What are they saying? And what you do is, I'm a good believer. I'm a good Christian. So I go home, I wake up in the morning, and what do? I pray. I say, God, give me that grace to tolerate that person. Give me that grace to deal with that situation. And what happens? You get in your car, you drive to work, and then as soon as you see that person, it all comes back, right? It all comes back. As soon as they say something, you get irritated. You don't know what it is, but something in there and something that they say really rubs you up the wrong way. For some of you as parents, hopefully the kids don't put up their hands, but hopefully as parents, you know, has there ever been a situation when you've regretted something that you've said to your kids? That you've made them cry, or you've raised your voice at them and you regret it later, and you feel this guilt that I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have been angry at them. I should have been able to control myself. Has that ever happened? Yeah? I won't ask the kids to put their hands up, but has that ever happened? It has, right? And then what do? We ask God. We sleep at night and we say, God, give me more patience. Give me more patience to deal with the situation. Give me more patience to deal with my kids. And then what happens? The very next day, they take so long to get ready for school. They forget to pack their lunch. And what happens? You get angry again. You get irritated again, right? And these are the things that we struggle with. And again, we know who we are in Christ, but we struggle with this battle. We know what we should be doing is right, or we know what we should do, but we don't do it. We struggle to fall through. And so you ask yourself, how do we overcome this? How do we overcome this struggle and this grip that the sin has in terms of our bondage? Well, herein lies the truth, church. We can't overcome it. Herein lies the truth. We cannot overcome this. So you might ask yourself, well, then why did I come here on Sunday service? I might as well go home now. Let's keep this short. It's COVID times. We want to keep to a time frame there. The thing is, we can't overcome this, but God has already overcame it for us. He sacrificed his son. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Am I right, church? He has done all these things that we only have to do one thing, and that's rest in him. If you take away nothing from the sharing today, just take away this. We need to stop denying and start relying on the truth that is our sonship in Christ. Are you getting me, church? Let me give you an analogy for this. Last year, my wife and I decided to buy a Dyson vacuum cleaner. So a new model, right? You know, one of those portable Dyson vacuum cleaners. And each model is pretty much the same as the previous model. except this one, you know, has the same accessories, the suction power and whatever else. But there's this one particular feature that my wife absolutely adores. That is the green light. So not the green lantern, but the green light. But the amount that she raves on about this green light, you swear it gave her superhuman powers. Because what this green light does for anyone that has a vacuum cleaner with a light on it, it reveals to you every dust and every speckle of dirt there is on the floor. And my wife raves on about this to our friends, to our family. She goes, look at this green light. I can see all the dirt. It's everywhere. She's so excited about it. She tells my parents about it as well. She goes, even at nighttime, I switch off all the lights and I just turn this thing on and then I can see all the dirt. This is my wife during the day and that is my wife during the night. She goes full SAS on us, right? She's got her night vision goggles, her green light. She's commando crawling across the floors to suck up all the dirt and grime there is. And then one afternoon, she was vacuuming and she says to me, oh my gosh, there is so much dirt, so much dust everywhere. And I was playing with the kids and I stood up and I'm an engineer and I like to solve things. And I said to her, babe, let me take care of this. And she looks at me, I want to see you do a better job. Come on, do a better job. I said, don't worry, babe, I'll take care of it. You put your foot up. So I grabbed the vacuum cleaner, moved it back and forth a little bit. Then I bent down and I turned off the light. And I said, voila, there's no more dust and dirt anymore. I put my hand up for a high five. Hey. I won't tell you where her hand went because this is a PG sermon. But you can imagine I'm still here and I'm still preaching, so praise God for that. But let me ask you a question right now, church. Even though I switched off that green light, is that dust and is that dirt still there? The dust and dirt is still there, right? Because me switching it off hasn't made it disappear. The dust and dirt is still there. She's teaching right now. I can hear her say, praise God, he finally gets me. Amen for that. The dirt and dust is still there. And this is sometimes when we try to turn a blind eye to who we are. Our sonship and our identity in Christ is always there. We need to realize that inheritance that we have in him. He sacrifices for us is for the past, the present, and for the future. We don't have to do anymore. We just need to rely and stop denying that truth of our sonship in him, that we are twinsies with him. When we do that, church, it will fundamentally change and shift the way we look at people. When we see people, we don't see them from, oh, you know, that person's irritating me. We see them from the Father's eyes. We see them from the love that he has blessed us with. When we can see the situation, we can speak to it, and it transforms our prayer life. We don't wake up saying, God, give me more grace. God, give me more patience. We wake up and saying, I can't do it. I can't overcome this, but I know you have overcame it. I will put this situation in your hands, and I am going to rest in you. And I can tell you honestly, church, standing here right now, it's happened to me on a number of occasions when I have rested in him, I can see the transformation he has in my life and from the people around me. I don't have to do more because when I try to do things, when I try to take control of the situations, I always fail. You know, Paul says in verse 24, he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will bring me from, or save me from a sin of life and death? Thank God. It's none other than Jesus Christ. All right. Oh, yeah, I can turn around. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, thank you. I love having this community that can also direct and guide me as well. Yep. Thank God the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's who we need to rely on. That's how we need to transform and change our prayer life. We know that he is there for us. And when we let that control over to him, he is our overcomer in every situation. Are you getting it, church? So you might ask me then, well, it's all great, all well and good that I'm sharing this during this sermon, but what happens if I forget? What happens if I go back to my old ways? What happens if I forget what I've learned in this sermon? Because we do forget, right? But God doesn't do anything half-baked, right? We have God the Father, God the Son, and who else? We have God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what guides us. And I'll give you an example of how he guides us in our own everyday walk and everyday journey as well. There was a couple of Christmases ago that I was looking on Marketplace, and I saw a gift that I wanted to buy for my son, Kieran. He doesn't know about this, by the way, and I'm glad he's here. So, yeah, I saw a gift online. It was a Lego set that I really wanted to get him. And I asked the lady, yep, would you take it? And she goes, yep, I'm happy for the price. Can you pick it up right now? And I said, oh, I'm not able to pick it up, but can I pay you first and I'll come grab it later, just to show that I'm interested in it, right? So she gave me her details. I sent her the money. And then we opted to meet at her place, or at a place. So I went there, I knocked on the door, and the mum and the sister came out. And I said, oh, is this person here? I'm here to pick up the Lego set. And they said, no, she's not here. She's moved elsewhere. And I said, oh, okay, can I, what should I do? He goes, oh, try to contact her, but good luck. And I was thinking to myself, good luck, are they wishing me well? I wasn't too sure at that time. So anyway, I went home, and then I messaged her again, you know, oh, I didn't get to meet you. It's for my son, it's for Christmas. I'm really keen for this Lego set. And then she didn't message at all. I didn't hear from her, right? And I was getting a bit worried. And then I messaged again and said, oh, look, don't worry about the gift. Can you just send me the money back? And I'm happy just to take the money and we'll just leave it at that. Still, I heard nothing. So how do you think I reacted? Yes, pretty calmly, right? No, not a chance. I was very frustrated, right? I got duped. Right, I put like this large sum of money or a little bit of money here to purchase this thing, and I trusted this person to do the right thing as well, right? So what I did was I started to message, and I was looking at my phone, I was looking at every symbol that I could have on my phone, pressing all these symbols, different emojis and whatever else, and I was typing furiously away. And then I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, son, is this who you are? Son, is this who you are? And I can tell you now, church, that that conviction wasn't something that made me feel guilty, wasn't something that condemned me, but it was pointing to my righteousness in him. Is this who you are, son? So I deleted the message. It took a minute or so just to get rid of all the text. I deleted the message, and then I wrote back, I think you might need this money more than I do. God bless. And then I sent that through. And then I never heard from the lady again. But this is how the Holy Spirit works. It does not convict us of our sins. The law is what mirrors back. The law is what shows us our inadequacies. But what the Holy Spirit does is convict us of our righteousness, our inheritance in him. This is how it transforms. What we need to do is stop denying and start relying on that truth. That revelation of who we are. When we live a life of Christ, we will see things transform. When we don't even have to do it, we just need to rest in who he is. Are you getting me, church? Is this good? I want to invite the worship team up right now. I want to close off with on the story with my daughter. You know, my daughter came to see me just a couple of weeks ago, right? I said to you, I struggle as a father because I see her in me and she denies it. And then she came up to me a couple of days ago. I'll show you a photo of her. She came up to me a couple of days ago and she says to me, Daddy? And I said, yes, Mia? And he goes, Daddy, I think I'm a little bit like you. I think I'm a little bit like you. And I tell you now, honestly, church, that when she said that, my heart broke, right? My heart absolutely broke because I've been trying so hard for her to be say that she's like me, right? And she says to me, I'm a little bit like you. And I feel the way she shares is like our journey with God as well. Each and every day when we discover more about Him, more about that intimacy, that relationship that we have with Him, we can say to ourselves, you know, we are more like Christ each and every day. We are more like the Father each and every day. And that is something that is transformational. Now, I can imagine the Father in heaven looking down on us saying, wow, I'm so proud. It is so awesome that my children know who I am and want that relationship with me. That they're discovering their inheritance. That my son sacrifices them so that they sacrificed himself so that they can have the forgiveness of sins, that they can live that abundant life that I have set before them, that they can live their true potential and that they can transform lives. You know that shirt there says, Daddy of a Master Builder? And my daughter's shirt there says, Master Builder, if you can't see. And that's what I see in them. That's what I see in my children in this next generation. They will become master builders because they're going to be overcomers just like Christ was. They're going to speak into people's lives. They're going to transform lives. They're going to share the gospel. They're going to shine for Him and show who He is in Christ. They're going to do amazing things. And I'm so blessed that we can be a community that grows and journeys together, understanding more about who He is. And stop denying, but start relying on our sonship as sons and daughters. Thank you.